favorite churches to visit is a church known as the Dream Center in LA. Now, the power of the Dream Center is that they have transformed a community where they planted a church in the middle of one of the most difficult areas in LA. And so there was a church out of Phoenix, and a pastor named Tom Barnett, he took the church, and he partnered with his son Matthew, and they planted a church in the middle of LA. They bought a hospital, a hospital that had been closed, and they had a dream and a vision that God was going to use this building to completely transform the community. And so they moved there. I read the book that Matthew Barnett wrote, and it says that he went there, and he literally one time he sat at his desk outside of the church on the sidewalk just so he would get people to talk to him, because nobody was coming into the building. Nobody was seeing his church as a place to come to find hope and restoration. But they began to, you know, get resources developed, and out of this grew what I believe is to be one of the most impactful communities in America, impactful churches in America. They get out onto the streets and they rescue prostitutes. They get drug addicts into recovery ministries. They have helped people find hope and life again in Jesus. And you know what I found is interesting? They got into the messiness of people's lives. They didn't get into the battles over who was right or wrong, over things that don't really matter in the kingdom of God. But they got into the hearts and lives of people, met them where they were at, in their brokenness, in their messiness, and helped them find Jesus. And I think what a powerful demonstration and illustration of what it is that God calls his church to do and to be. You know, and so when people go there, they don't go there hoping, well, what's in it for me? They go there going, how can I be a part of what God's going to do in the community that he's called us to impact? And they say that that church has absolutely transformed the community that they're around. Why? It's very simple. They went out. They went out and they went and saw a need and they met it. They went and saw a situation and they went after it. And I think so often, you know, we say, well, God, what is it that you want me to do? And we almost over-spiritualize a very simple thing, and that's God's calling you to meet the need that's right in front of you. God's calling us to reach out into the places and the people that he puts before us every day. And so it's one of my favorite places to visit. I've been there a couple of times for a few different things, and I'm always inspired by the heart that God gave Pastor Tommy Barnett and his son Matthew to transform a community. And you know, they didn't do it through politics. They didn't do it through somehow trying to, you know, manipulate people in anything. They did it by simply meeting the need that was there in the community, and that's where the transformation began. You know, the power of the gospel is found in our ability to get into the lives of people. It's powerful. It's a reality of what it is. And so in Acts 2, we see this. And in Acts 2, we see that the Holy Spirit fell on the church and empowered the church. And we see that the effective life of a Spirit-led church, what it looks like. It says in Acts 2, 42 through 47, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All of the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And it really, this passage speaks to a few things. And so this morning's message is, I see a church, and the church I see, and I want to speak today to who we are. I want to speak to the values that I believe God gave us for this church. We've now had them in place over a year, and I believe it speaks specifically to who God is calling us to be, and again, how we reflect what it is that the early church did, and how the early church, they broke bread together. They fellowshiped with one another. You know what drew people to them was their love for one another and how God transformed them in their lives. They were not drawn because they were protesting somewhere or making a bunch of noise somewhere. They were drawn to them because of their love for one another and the transformation they were seeing in the lives of people. And so I wonder, oftentimes we look into the life of somebody And I think our prayer has to be, God, how can we bring about transformation in a life? Many people that maybe live a life of sin or live a life that we don't agree with, we often want to find means to come against them, when I believe God calls us to find means to reach out to them, pray for them, and pray that the power of God transforms them. Oftentimes, I say this over and over, oftentimes broken people don't need to be reminded that they're broken. They need to see a hand of compassion that reaches out. The way Jesus said that when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water. When I was in prison, you visited me. And he lists all these things. And we see that out of the heart of Jesus is a heart of compassion for broken people. And that's what he calls his church to do and to be a part of. And so the early church, one of the things that you see is that they were very intentional about spiritual growth, intentional about their spiritual word we use in college was their spiritual formation. Like, how am I intentionally growing this life in Christ that God calls me to? How am I being intentional? So if there's anything that you do focus on for you, it's how are you taking care of the faith that God calls you to live out every day? At some point when you get to heaven, it's not going to be, what did Sanctuary Church do for you? It's going to be, what did you do with my son Jesus? What did you do? And so often we think, well, we wish that we'd do more of this maybe, or we wish we'd do more of that. And at some point as the church grows, there might be more things we're able to do. But here's the one thing I know God calls our church to do. It's called to impact the community. And God's call to you is to allow the Holy Spirit to transform your life and allow him to be at work in your life so that you can become more like his son Jesus. And that's what it is. And so one of the things that becomes very important, and you see that they met together. They were devoted to teaching and to fellowship. There was an important aspect of growing in their faith and fellowshipping with one another. And we worked to provide opportunities for that. But you could very easily fellowship with one another. You and two other people could go to Starbucks on a Thursday morning and do a Bible study, and that's fellowship together. That's being the church. And that's just as effective as anything that we would do on a Sunday morning or in a Bible study that we would host. You could gather together as believers in the community and you would grow together. My greatest, I look over and over at my life and I see that the things that most impacted my life in terms of growing in my faith in Jesus were the relationships I built where I allowed people to invest in my life so that I would become more like him. And so we wonder why. And you may wonder, why do I put so much emphasis on relationship? Partly it's probably my personality. But a lot of it has to do with knowing that the real power of me growing in my faith is the relationships I build with other people. It's called ironing, sharpening iron. And so God calls us to these things. And so if I'm intentional, where am I, in other words, where am I becoming more like Jesus? Where am I being intentional about my own spiritual growth? And where am I making sure that what I believe, what I do, and what I hold to is aligning with the Word of God? Not what culture says, not what even necessarily what has always been maybe tradition in Christianity, but what is it where am I aligning my life with the Word of God so that I can live it out, so that I can be the kind of person and have the kind of impact that God is calling me to have? Where am I in regular community with believers outside of Sunday mornings? Where am I leading my family to be like Jesus? And this whole idea, and this beginning of this, is that where am I allowing the Spirit of God, where am I allowing the Word of God, where am I allowing the life of other believers in my life to help it be transformational in my own life so that I can live out this life that God calls me to? The other thing is, it says that we are called to be intentional about having a missional approach to the world. What does that mean? We're simply missionaries to our community. When I talked to Dave Dorsett, who visited us last week, he talked about how they get into the community and they love the people, they connect in relationships, and you find that there are a lot of things they don't focus on because there's the main thing they focus on is they operate as missionaries in a community. Now, I know this, that culture has shifted greatly in the last 30, 40, 50 years. It's all the more reason why God calls us to act like the early church in our communities that we live in. He calls us to live in some ways as missionaries in our culture. He calls us to live as people who are called to take the message of Jesus out into our jobs, into our families, into our homes, into the marketplace. You know, when you saw Paul go and he would look for opportunities not to debate people, not to somehow get caught up in any other thing, but this one thing that mattered to Paul, and that was the message of Jesus. If we're going to see, here's the thing I would say, you really want to transform a culture, get into the life of the person that God is putting right in front of you. Get into the life of the person and invest in them and minister to them and transform them. Then all of a sudden you'll begin to see that maybe you have a lot more impact probably investing into the person that God is calling you to love and minister to and have compassion for. You know, that's what it is that God calls us to. But it's this idea of being missional. So what does that mean? We really have to be like missionaries in our community. And so it means we maybe have to operate a different way than what we have operated. Maybe it means we don't live under some assumptions that we used to have about our community and our culture. That I'm going, and the Bible says always that as believers, the language the Bible uses is that we are strangers and aliens in a foreign land. And again, I'm first about the kingdom of God before any other thing. And again, what does that mean? I operate under the way God calls me to. And so when I see somebody who is maybe doing something I don't agree with, how am I living biblically and missionally in that situation? How am I demonstrating God's faithfulness, God's goodness, and God's truth to them in a manner that is compassionate and a demonstration of God being at work? You know, what was the thing Jesus was often criticized for? You know, why are you going and hanging out with those people? You know, why are you doing those kind of things? You know, why are you, God, Jesus, why are you doing that? And you say, he goes, I'm not here for the people that are fine. I'm here for the people that are sick. And you see that he was with them. He had communion with them. He ate with them. The people that others actually at times despised, he would sit with them. And so where does God call us to do that? And so his church is called to be about the transformation of the lives of people, that when they come to Christ, we are now at work together helping them become more like Jesus. And then we are also about living as missionaries in the community that God has placed us in. And we love the people that God calls us to. We share the love of Jesus with people that we come across. And that means sometimes it might be avoiding other things that you want to get into arguments with or discussions about, because it's that one thing. If it's going to interrupt that one thing, then it's not worth doing it. How do you focus on that one thing? If God calls you to be a missionary, if God calls you to reach the world that you are in, make sure that we're not letting things get in the way of that one thing. And that's what it means when he says that the church is called to be missional and reaching our community. It means we sometimes get into places and we deal with people and we love people that maybe don't live as we think they should or don't do the things we think that they should do. But what do? We show compassion to them and we take Christ into the places that they are in. And so it asks this question, two things. Where is my life being internally transformational? And where is my transformed life being externally evident? Where's Jesus evident in the life that I'm living day in and day out? So I ask this question, who am I and how am I living out? Is who I am and how I'm living reflecting the message of Jesus in my words and actions? It's that simple. And so I want to hit on that, because then we're going to talk about some values, and you see them posted, that are important to our church. I'm going to go through them quickly to touch on them, but to express and just demonstrate the importance of how they operate. The first one is this, is that we are a church that believes the Bible. We are a church that holds to Scripture being God's Word. And so where am I letting the Word of God transform me? Where am I letting the Word of God speak to me? Where am I letting the Word of God direct what we're doing as a church? And where am I living out what it is that God has taught us to live and to be and to do? And so the Word of God is foundational to everything we are. You know, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. So in the same way, we're devoted to understanding, applying the Word of God so that it's lived out in our lives. And so that when people see me, at some point, they no longer see Scott Tuttle, but they see Christ reflected in who I am, what I do, and how I live. And so my daily desire is that God work out in me those things that need to be worked out so that people see Christ in me. And so we desire that. Secondly, what do? We give generously. It says that they sold their property and possessions and gave to anyone who had need. We believe in being generous because God demonstrated generosity. Our church grows because of generosity. And we impact lives because people are obedient to faithfully giving as God has called us to do. But it allows us to do the work that God calls us to. We're going to get more into that in November. We're going to do a series on generosity. The third thing is this, is we grow in our faith. It says again, they devoted themselves to the teachings and the fellowship and the breaking of bread together. They grew in their faith. If at any point you're more interested in proving your point as a believer and somehow defending your stance and you don't have an opportunity to grow, I would question that you need to come before the Lord and say, God, where am I holding on to things that I don't need to hold on to? You know, I'm amazed always when I meet people that are just always hungry to grow in their relationship with Jesus. And I hope that's your desire, that you don't just come to church to come to church. You don't just come here again so that I can just be like, hey, I got that ticket punched, now I can go on with my week. I come so that I can be with other believers, so that I can grow in my faith in Christ, so that I can live it out daily before others. And so we are a church that desires for people to want to grow in their faith. We do this through small groups. Right now, here's what our church is able to do. We do it through small groups. We offer at different times groups where we do a Bible study or we do a video series. We have our ladies' Bible study that meets on Tuesday mornings. And it becomes something that's very important. We do mentoring relationships. We offer ministries for kids ministry and student ministries. But I'll go back to this. The strength often of growing in our faith is that we do it with other people. And so I go back and I look at my life growing up in the church. I find that it was people that invested in my life that I gave opportunity and allowed to speak into my life, encourage me, correct me when I needed it, invest in my life. It's those people that have helped me grow in my faith. Your faith in Christ is not growing on an island or alone. Your faith in Christ also, and if you ever are at a place where you begin to push others out, there's a question of humility that needs to be examined in your heart. So where am I growing in my faith? Where am I allowing the Holy Spirit and the wisdom of others to help me to grow in this faith that God has called me to? We desire to see that in the life of every person. So I don't know where you are at in your faith in Jesus, but what can you do today to take a next step to grow closer to Him? What can you do today to take a next step to grow closer in your faith in Jesus? I really believe that a key to into discipleship is intentional relationships. The Bible says this, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so we look for ways to encourage one another, inspire one another towards our faith in Jesus, challenge one another to live out the life that God has called us to live. You know, the fourth thing is this, is what we share our faith. We share the faith that, and the story. Another way to say it is share the story of what God has done in your life. The reason I love this idea of my sanctuary story is this, is you're really speaking to what it is that God has done in your life through the local church. And it's really the story of God's work in your life. It's really the story of God's hand on you and in you. You know, one of the things that I love is we have one of the ladies in our church who takes her Uber a lot. You know her as Victoria. And she told me a story last week how, you know, she goes every week I'm driving and I'll invite him to church. And, you know, she's invited people and they've come and she just regularly is about inviting people to come. And I think that's just a powerful thing and an exciting thing and we applaud that. And, you know, that's something that we should celebrate is that the effort she makes to invite people because she knows how powerful the work of Jesus is in the life of somebody. And so it goes back to where do we even look for a simple opportunity to invite? Share our faith. What is it that God has done in your life that you can tell other people about? You know, we all have different personalities, and, you know, we might go about all this a different way in some ways, but yet the one common thing is that God can use you to bring somebody to Jesus. God can use you in some way to bring them into relationship with Him. And so we desire, as one of our values, that we share our faith. We believe that a vibrant part of the Christian walk is sharing our faith with others because we see God at work in us and in the world. When I talked with Dave, the missionary from last week, the Dorsets, you know, he goes, whatever you've heard is probably true in China. He goes, in some areas there's great persecution, they're hauling people off to jail. He goes, in other places there are literally people that are preaching openly. He goes, one pastor said, I preached openly in this church, and nobody, and he goes, probably. Because again, he goes, on one hand, China is so large. He goes, it's not going to be the same everywhere. But he goes, the one constant was this, is that God is at work in the places. Even though it might seem like people will work against him, it's not going to stop the work that God desires to do. And so I love meeting with missionaries, because I'll go back to this. I would argue that missionaries demonstrate to us how we ought to operate in our culture, in our time, in this place, and in always. And so I'll regularly listen to missionaries, and I'll listen to how they operate and how they approach their community, how they approach, you know, reaching people. And I think that becomes a regular lesson, A, because I always want to be teachable, and B, because it becomes a regular lesson on how I can then reach my community, reach the people that God has called me to. I go back to the story of the Dream Center. What I love is that church demonstrates powerfully how a church can impact its community, and that what God calls us to. You know, one of the other things, number five is of the eight, is we desire to serve. In that passage we read, it says everyone was filled with awe in the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. They went out and did the work of the ministry. God used their gifts to minister to people and one another. And you read on in Acts, you can see where there are people that were called to do administration. They were called to serve the church. And so as a church, we desire that people would serve in some capacity. And you might say, well, I don't know if I'm called to that. Well, I'll tell you this. Are you using that as an excuse to not respond to a need that's right in front of you? There are a lot of things I do that I'm not called to, and that's not really a good excuse. What God calls you to do is be a part of the local church and impact the community that God calls you in. So now some of you may be like, I don't have a talent for it. And okay, that's fair. You know, if you sound like a frog, you probably shouldn't be singing on worship. We'll admit that, right? But so often somebody, you know, there'll be something where there's a need. You know, you're like, well, I'm called to this, but not that. And the need remains unfilled because we're actually not being obedient to simply filling a need that God has maybe put right in front of us. You might say, I'm not great with kids. That's okay. Neither am I. I'm a terrible sub. I go into a school and like the kids talk all the time, and I'll be like, you guys need to be quiet. And they're not. They just keep talking. But yet I get there, you know, and I think in the same ways, you go back and we need help in kids ministry. And you'd be like, well, I'm not great with kids. That's okay. Just don't break them, you know, just be back there and help the teacher. Sit back there, simply being a presence. You might like, well, I'm not really friendly. Well, that's okay. You can still hand them something. I think so often we use excuses as a means to not do very simple things that God calls us to do. And so it's just, I think sometimes we over-spiritualize our excuses to actually be disobedient to what God is maybe speaking to us. And so I say this to people all the time. I go, I grew up in the church. I've seen every way and everything and all of it. I've seen it all. And I realize this, it's very simple. We follow Jesus and we serve one another. And we speak to the love of Jesus in the community that God has called us to. And so we desire to serve. You know, and I say this, looking to serve, we have a place for you. We have a way that you can serve. You know, one of the things I read in one of the sanctuary stories is one of them wrote how they love serving in kids ministry and on the worship team. And you think about it, what a great opportunity for impact that she has in sharing her story. And in her story, she's basically saying, I love the opportunity to serve in this church. I love the opportunity to be able to impact the life of somebody. I love that I get to be a part of what it is that God is doing through this church. When I read these stories, I celebrate how God uses you to impact the life of somebody in some way. And I know I've shared this story once before, maybe 1,000 times, but I remember when I left my youth ministry in Yuba City where I grew up, the youth pastor said, how many of you have somehow gotten a ride from Scott? And there were about 130 kids, and literally probably all but like a small percentage stood up. They just stood up. And I'm like, all I did was give them a ride because they needed a ride. And they also knew, and I've said this before, they would get a soda probably on their way home. So I probably was sought after. I'm quite confident. They knew, you know, I have no money in my savings because I spent so much money on soda growing up, taking kids to church and taking them home. And you know what the thing was? It was giving them a ride. It wasn't the person on stage. It wasn't the person that had the quote-unquote, you know, the talent. And those things are very important. It was simply the person willing to give their time to help somebody get home. More importantly, it was helping them get to church so they could be a part of a church family. You know what happened on those car rides home? Conversation. Conversation about life. Conversation about Jesus. Conversation about whatever it is that we were going through. And I remember specifically, I gave a kid a ride home. His name was Bobby. And Bobby, he just always kind of had difficult situations. Life wasn't easy. And I remember giving him a ride home. And the reason I remember giving him that ride home, the last time that I would give him a ride home, is a few days later he'd be killed in a car accident just a couple blocks down from the high school that we attended. I remember that, and I'm thinking, God, in some way was I able to say something that impacted his life just a couple days before he would go and be in eternity? You know, and that's what I remember. And so you think, like, is what I'm, and some of you, you might wrestle with, like, well, is what I'm doing going to be significant? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's why God calls us to serve. It's why he calls us to these things, because, and it leads to our next thing, is we desire to be a church that has authentic community. We desire to be a church that has authentic community. You know, there's a name that pops up over and over about how this person over and over will write a note and send it in the mail. Many of you in your stories, your sanctuary story, a couple of you talked about how it was this person's kindness that attracted you to this church. You know, many of you speak very highly of Carol and her love for people and her love for the church and the work that she does. And, you know, many don't know that she'll regularly send letters. I don't even know half the time. And somebody goes, hey, I got this letter from Carol. And I'm like, really, you did? Like, this is awesome. And you know what that creates? You know what that creates in our church? Authentic community. A community that demonstrates the love of Jesus to one another. A community that's demonstrated how we love one another, we care for one another, we encourage one another, and we lead one another towards Jesus. Because here's the thing, your journey in faith is messy. No faith in Jesus is a perfect straight line where you just gets better and better. Man, there's times where you hit a rough spot and you might feel like you fell down or stumbled back. And we're called to be there with one another, to pick one another up and help us to continue to move forward. Why? Because we desire authentic community. It says that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of the people. They met in homes. They didn't hang out. It wasn't just at the church. It wasn't, in this case, it would have been the temple. What we know of as church didn't really exist till about 400 AD, give or take. And so they would meet in homes, they would break bread together, they would fellowship with one another, they would spend time together, and they would have authentic community where real influence would happen in the name of Jesus. So a lot of times you might wonder why, hey, I love going to Starbucks because of the coffee. I'm just never denying of that. But I love meeting with people in places where we can fellowship with one another and encourage one another and move one another towards the hope of Jesus. You know, I believe the last two are very important as well, is that we value every generation. One of the ladies that wrote, she goes, she loved it. She saw a group of older ladies that she could connect with. And she says that was something that meant something to her. I know our development of our kids and student ministries is very important because we need to reach the next generation with the message of Jesus. And so we value every generation. It's not that we just value every generation, but as Scripture teaches, in heaven, we're going to see every tribe, every tongue, and every language, and it's going to be a mix of people. It's going to be a beautiful reflection of the diversity that God created. And we want that to be reflected in our church. And so we value every generation. We value every person. Because Jesus valued those things. So we value those things. And lastly, what do? We value compassion. It says this, again, they sold their property and their possessions to give to anyone who had need. And as a church and part of a larger community of Vacaville, we encourage, support, and pray for one another just as Jesus modeled. So where am I living out this heart of compassion? Where am I living out the compassion that God calls me to? Even to people that don't look like me, act like me, believe like me, but where am I getting into the midst of their lives so that I can help bring the message of Jesus to them? Or simply just live out who Jesus called us to be. I just read about a church who they, through some, maybe they just took the best offering on the planet, I don't know, but they helped paid off $7.8 million in medical debt for 6,000 families, 6,000 people. How do you not but celebrate that? They saw a real need that provides real impact. And you know what I bet? Those 6,000 people, when they face a situation, who are they going to go to? They're going to go to that church in Indiana. Part of me wondered if it was my youth pastor's church, because he pastors now a church in Indiana. And I saw that he was building a new facility, and in that was a compassion wing for children with special needs. And I'm thinking in my mind, I go back to 1992 when Darren Chesky showed up, and I'm thinking, man, I think that rubbed off a little bit. I hope that rubbed off a little bit on me. That my youth pastor, who loves Jesus and loves people, spoke things into my life that now allows me to hopefully love Jesus and love people in a way that God calls us to. So as we close out our time, we're going to have the worship team come, and you know, I want you to take, I don't have it with me. It's on here. It's on the card. It's on here. It's on the cards that we have out there. We have our values. And I want you to just take some time and go, God, how am I living out this life outside these walls? How's Jesus seen in me? And if he's not seen in me, then what do I need to do so that I can be who you called me to be? So I remember one time I worked at a grocery store at Bel Air in Yuba City, and I've always had this thing of like, hey, how am I living out Jesus in my life? And but this moment I remember somebody walked in, and there was a lady that walked in, and you know, I just thought, to be honest, I thought she looked funny. So I made this comment to the person next to me, and I made a comment, and I was hoping for a laugh, and he just was kind of like, kind of gave me the response I needed to hear, which was like, why would you say that? Like, I don't know, I'm an idiot, that's why. Clearly. And I realized in that moment, a guy who professes Jesus didn't live it out in that moment. And I was convicted. And I said, so I just prayed again, like, God, if there be any unclean thing in me, work it out in my life. We close out our time. I think there's a card that we got in the mail this week that I think speaks very clearly to what I pray continues to be the heartbeat of Sanctuary Church. He said, Pastor Scott and Heather, this card reminds me of the big yellow tent stake that you gave us in Father's Day, and I still have it in the sermon notes from your 2019 Father's Day message. We gave out tent stakes to every man to represent how we're called to be anchors in the lives of our families. He goes on to say, I thank God and Sanctuary Church, Vacaville, for being just the right place at the right time for me to discover just when I needed it. And so he said some other kind things and actually had given some support for our church. And I think this is it. This is exactly why we do what we do. On occasion, I'll still hear from Portia. You guys remember her and just how much she values the kindness and the love that the church showed her. And to be very honest, the reason I'm asking for your stories of how Sanctuary has impacted your life is because there's somebody just like you sitting in a car somewhere, sitting in a couch somewhere, sitting somewhere, who needs to hear your story because it's going to change their life. You guys, I'll be very honest. I'm not going to win my battles over fighting politics or policies or fighting over whether we should do things this way or that way. I'm going to win the battle for people's souls over telling the story of how Jesus impacted your life and how Jesus impacted my life at a time when I desperately needed it. And the things that stick with me are the stories of what people have done in your life and in my life. And if there's going to be anything I believe that's going to help build this church, it's going to be your story. It's who we are. You are Sanctuary Church. You are the story of what God is doing in the lives of people in this community. And that's what he calls us to. So we want to invite you to stand this morning. I want to do two simple things. Who is it that God puts on your heart this morning that you can share your story with? And secondly, what's your story that you can send to us so that we can share in the lives of other people? The story of the Sanctuary Church impacts families that have been able to send their kids to Teen Challenge where their lives are being impacted. The story of the Sanctuary Church exists in a church in China where we send money to help missionaries bring the gospel to difficult places. Your story impacts the lives of the people that God wants to fill these chairs up with. And so people ask me, why do you want to see a church grow? I want to see a church grow because I believe God wants to use this church to impact this community. And not just grow in people, but grow in faith in Jesus. Will you believe with me on that? Will you stand with me on that? Will you believe for what God desires to do in the lives of the people that God is wanting to help us change their story this morning? So we're going to pray together, and we're going to take a moment. We're going to sing a song. And I want you just to ask God this morning, what is it you're saying to me that I need to do in response to this message this morning? That's going to be our altar time. That's going to be our response that we're going to ask you to consider this morning. Father, speak to us. I pray that, God, you will encourage us. I pray that you will inspire us. I pray that you will get to the heart of what you need to do in our lives. And we ask, God, that you will be at work. Speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Can we do this? Let's just...